All right. I'm interviewing Thomas Godwin. He's going to tell us a little bit about himself, and we're going to talk about the Rosenwald project. Okay. Can you start off by just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Well, you asked me already.
I know. That was a little bit of an interview. Just some basic information.
Tom Godwin, born in Cape Charles. My parents were Thomas L. Godwin and Alston Godwin. My mother was a funeral director, and my father was a cement contractor. And I think he was about the only cement contractor at that time in the town. I think he started around 1911.
Yeah.
So I did assist him in the later years. We used to kind of complement the funeral business by making vaults and tombstones and putting vaults in. I had a few little jobs here and there in my life, but I wasn't able to do very well work for others.
Yeah.
I always wanted to work on my own. So I had my, my own business. My first own business was probably, I had a grass cutting business when I was about 12. Mm-hmm. Had about 30 lawns I used to cut in town. I was always trying to do other things to earn money. And I had a kind of an engulfing mind. I could do things that once I saw you do it or saw others, or I could read and figure out how to do it. So along my quest, along with being a funeral director and a bomber, and I did a little electrical work. I was an electrician. Wired about 35 houses in town. Wired this one.
Wow.
Did a little plumbing and and I was always involved in politics because my mother was.
Okay.
From childhood.
Okay.
A lot of the things we trying to remember some things of substance.
That's okay. It's really good. So you mainly you did a lot of your own business, a lot of entrepreneurial work.
Yeah, and
work.
We always had we were home to a lot of people with a lot of problems. They may not have been problems, but they were just concerns or issues.
Okay.
My phone number is, my funeral home number is 331-3810. The significance of which means that the number 38 was the number of phones that were there when she got it.
Uh-huh.
So there were 38 phones in the whole town.
Wow.
Meaning that it brought us all close together because most people did not have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Most people did not have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Charles was a walking group of people. We walked everywhere we went. It's only in recent years that we started walking. When somebody got a car, we all gathered around the community
mm-hmm.
to go and see the car and admire it with the person that was mm-hmm. getting the car.
Okay.
Because it wasn't in the interest rate like they do. But quite often, it was a handshake arrangement most of the time.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. I've actually been to Norfolk and bought things.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I bought a car. And I called back home and told him, I said, I just got a car. Will you cover it for me?
Yeah.
And got my insurance and things like that.
Okay.
So, and I still feel that way. If I owe you some money, I'm going to pay you.
Yeah.
Well, you do all that paperwork and that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's an honor, right?
Well, that's the way we always did it.
Yeah.
And we had some honor among each other, too. I believe in that. If you give me a, you tell me a secret and you tell me to keep it, I will.
That's good.
And there are some people who have died, and I still got that secret in me. Yeah. So I believe in keeping it.
Very good. All right, I'm gonna ask you some questions now about the school for the project. How did the separate but equal doctrine affect schooling here in Cape Charles?
Well, the school that I was attending did not have running water or bathroom facilities. Uh-huh. Had a hand pump outside. Uh-huh. And we all would gather around that and pump the water for ourselves. And there was an outdoor privy in the back. Uh-huh. And I guess we adopted to it because that was just a way of life. There's nothing we could do about it. Uh-huh. You know. At the time, we really wasn't trying to make any comparisons to later on. The only time I really began to make any comparisons when I saw books that were handed back down to us from the white school, mm-hmm. or the desks or something like that. Then we knew then that, and that they had typewriters, we didn't. So I think that we as a people have done remarkably well, mm-hmm. given the fact that we didn't have. Never had a, in fact, even through high school, we didn't have a long time before we had a typewriter. And the only place was a typewriter was in the office. Wow. So we weren't geared toward business. Yeah. So we had to do that kind of on our own. So, and so we knew about what was in store for us, I guess. We're either going to go to the factory, or we're going to go to a college, or we're going to just leave here and go north and look in search of work.
Yeah. Well, and
but the school, you want me to stay with the school? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, yeah, it's excellent. It's really good.
In the school, there was. We had three teachers and a principal. The remarkable thing I remember most of all in the school was the whole time I went to elementary school, there was the teacher was always there. She never missed a day in all the years I was there. Yeah. Unless she missed the day when I missed one. But as long as every day I went there, she was there.
Amazing.
And I remember my first grade teacher. I remember having these four dresses. A green and white polka dot, a brown and white polka dot, a blue and a white polka dot, and a plain brown. Mm-hmm. Dress, and with the granny shoes. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anybody being set aside or ostracized or being considered special. Mm-hmm. Everybody had to learn. Mm-hmm. Whether you were slow or fast.
Yeah.
And you did not move from one class to another without meeting suitable proficiency in the preceding class.
Yeah.
So you just remained there. If you didn't make the grade, you didn't move up.
There was no social promotion.
No.
It's nice.
None of that. They had a way of getting it to you. Had devotions in the morning. And I believe it wasn't. We had private devotion in the class, mm-hmm. but on. I can't remember whether it was Monday or Friday that we were having a general assembly. Mm-hmm. And we would have the church songs and prayer. Very short, so then we got started. Mm-hmm. I always felt that kind of made me behave myself for the first half of the day. So then I was on my own after that, I guess.
Yeah. Were the rules very strict in school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strict. They had a method of teaching you. That's why I can't understand why we have to have these special groups so much now. Maybe they do have some kind of psychological profile that's not good.
Yeah.
But if someone is teaching you a word and you keep missing it, and somebody hits you across your fingers when you keep missing that word, you can't spell it. After a while, you're going to get tired of the pain.
Yes.
You're going to learn a word.
Yeah.
Or somebody pull your ear, step on your foot.
Yeah.
You'll get it after a while.
I hope so.
Well, like I say, I don't remember anybody. I tell you what, I remember two fellas who were drafted out of the seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
It went normal.
Wow.
So like I said, you didn't move to you, right? But at that time, if you had a third or fourth degree, grade education, if you were good at that, you could make it.
Yeah.
In seventh grade, you could survive. You could find a way of doing that.
Yeah.
Because we all had to survive.
Yeah.
But there was money here at that time. You could, if you really wanted to go out and make a little money, you could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Got a little ingenuity. It took that.
Yeah.
School books. As I look back, it could have been a little bit depressing, because I remember this book.
Mm-hmm.
We were studying from. It was about Billy, and Jane, I can't remember all the other ones, and a monkey called Winky. So the whole story was, it really wasn't us.
Mm-hmm.
Because Billy's dad was going, he had his briefcase, he was going to work, and he was going to catch a plane, and he was going to his office.
Yeah.
But that was not for us.
Yeah. Couldn't relate real well.
No, we couldn't. I mean, and the picture's all white, he's got yellow hair. So, and all the whole family, they're doing it, they're living a utopian lifestyle, you know, but we weren't. But I guess what it was, we did learn the words, and we could understand it
mm-hmm.
better. But it wasn't a true picture.
Yeah. Okay. What was like the? I know you said about the water and the typewriters and the books, but how was the actual building compared today to what the building and the schooling was like then?
It was well built, very well built. Probably you should be able to do something with it now because of the blocks, the heavy, thick cement blocks. I don't know if there was cement, I can't remember what you would call it, but it was excellent in the build. In fact, it was meticulously built. well, but everything on it. The handrail, the steps, the windows. They had radiators, steam radiators. They had a ball in the back. And I recall at one of the rewards sometime, we would go and take the key and let some of the steam out of the radiator. Because you needed to purge it or let it off every once in a while. So.
What was the community involvement with the school, like from parents and church?
Had a lot of we had a lot of plays, and the activity we were able to do recitals, people singing, showing off their talent shows. And I don't see that much anymore. We had to learn long poems about the different people like Longfellow and Rudyard Kipling. So we got a taste of that. And the old Negro, at that time, Negro hymns and their poems that were written. And kind of got an idea after a while. Now that was more relative to us than Jane and yes. Billy.
Yeah.
Because we were living that life. So.
And was the church really involved with the school as well?
Oh yes, the church was always involved. As a matter of fact, it was one of the requirements of a teacher to be at Sunday school and to teach. And if they didn't go to church, they would probably be questioned by the school board.
Okay.
Or that if not, it's a superintendent. And that went on a long time, even up to my high school. Mm-hmm. You were expected to be in Sunday school if you were a teacher.
Yeah. And you said you had devotions once a week with the whole school anyway.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then also in class.
Right.
Yeah. So, what other curriculum did you guys use outside?
The math, the arithmetic, the three R's.
Yeah.
Writing, arithmetic, and what, reading?
Yeah. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Very good. And what type of educational training did most of the teachers and staff have?
They instilled in us another set of values. Be truthful. Behavior problems. They were so different from what it is today. What we were getting spanked about, people just gloss over that. They learn to sit down, be quiet, say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yeah. Those kind of things.
So behavior was a big focus.
Huh?
Behavior was a big
focus
in the curriculum.
That was a way of getting by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we enjoyed the 5-minute recesses.
Only 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, what would you guys do on the recesses?
Shoot marbles. And root the pig, which is definitely not allowable now.
What is that?
We had pocket knives, and we used to play games with the pocket knives, and we could do the carving. And that was one of the great things that we looked forward to, owning our own buck knife. And the girls were playing barber jacks. And what else did it? Ring around the roses, what that thing called? May I? Juanita,
yeah.
what was the name of that game? You can make so many steps, and if you didn't say
Hi.
It, this is my wife, Juanita.
Hi.
Yeah.
Good to meet you all.
Yeah. She's doing an interview. for Rosenwald.
Right.
The game, you remember the game where you had to jump, and but if you went, he said, may I, if you didn't say may I, then you had to step back.
Hopscotch.
Hopscotch, yeah. Yeah.
And we had one that was 1, 2, 3 red light.
1, 2, 3.
You were advanced. If you forgot to say may I think that was the one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But hopscotch was different because you had blocks. Like this, and then you go forward. Yeah. And you had to do all that. It was like a balancing game.
Incidentally, at my last, three class, we have class reunion every 2 years at high school.
Awesome.
And they wanted to do the wrapping of the maypole. She was the only one who remembered it, and so she orchestrated it. I got some of that on my tape. Our class reunions, things. So we should try to go back and do that. That was one of the things that we used to have called a May Day, and we prepare for that during the year, learn to do the different kinds of exercise. Then we'd have a game. I was a pitcher. I used to pitch for the softball games. But all of us were real close because we had to walk over the hump. Mm-hmm. And we came, and then we'd meet. And we had to walk down. In fact, I had to come right down the street to get to my home when we came over the hump. Then sometimes we could stop by, it was a store on the front street, Jefferson store. Mm-hmm. And we could buy a big bologna sandwich. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I call one of the old guys that had one of those stores and I ask, you think I can get a slice of that bologna sandwich? Because it was a special.
Uh-huh.
He said, I would like to have some of it myself.
Aww.
But you can do a lot with 15 cents for a meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot different now, huh?
Right.
You said that the school had 3 teachers? Is that correct?
3 teachers and a principal.
And a principal.
Well, the principal would have been teacher too, because he did teach me. I think he taught the 6th and 7th grade, and the other was divided. We had primer, 1st and 2nd. Second, maybe 3rd. 4th and 5th was in it, another teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of educational training did the teachers have coming in, do you know?
Well, I don't remember the first, I don't know what training the first grade teacher had. I had to ask somebody else. The third, fourth, Mrs. Joan, I think she attended college, or finished college, and the principal was always a college graduate. She might have been also, I don't know. Right. But she was very good, excellent teacher. It gave us we got a good start.
Yeah. Yeah. What did they teach particularly well?
How to read and to write. I didn't get that too well. Spelling, arithmetic, that was kind of important. And of course, most of my reading, I guess I learned a lot of reading in Sunday school. Because that's what we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was our Sunday school lesson. We had to read those cards. And they were assisted. So it helped you do well in regular school.
Yeah.
So, but behavior was important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What was your favorite memory from school, or the most memorable moment you have from school? It's kind of a loaded question, sorry.
I got to pass on that for a minute.
Yeah.
I can't think. There were so many good memories I had.
Yeah. Do you have any particularly bad memories that were, like, not great, that you remember, like, ugh, it was so awful?
Not really. Oh. I can't. Because everything that happened to me, I deserved it. it was bad at the time, you know. I guess one of the main things I remember, I knew that if I was late for recess, coming in for recess, I had to get two licks in my hand. So when I, as soon as you go, some of it, we were doing it so much that we knew we were going to be late. So when we walked through the door, we just hold our hand out and get the two sticks and keep going on. And this particular time, I said, oh, I know it's out the way. So I go, that's why I know about this building. So I go in the back, and there was a man there, one of the rooms, he did caning and
like a chair like that.
He did a lot of repair chairs and furniture, like furniture that's all been done over. So I remember he was a huge guy, a big guy, and I was trying to come in that window. I get in the window, I'm gonna go around and I get that beating. But he throws me a rope out the window, and I grab the rope and he pulls me on up through the window. But he pulled me so fast, and while I was doing it, my knuckles on my hands, they were dragging up against the building, and they just knocked all the skin off, and I was bleeding, and I got up to the window. I said, this is worse than the beating.
Sounds
I was
like
bleeding like I don't know. I said, so much for that idea. So I'd had enough, you know. I remember one friend, he was a cousin of mine. He was one of those incorrigible people, I guess. And I remember one day he came in the room. We all had these sweaters, and he had this compass with this sharp, knotty eye, what you spin. And he said, Miss Jones, I've been so bad, I'm gonna kill myself right now. He takes this compass and he does this and falls on the floor. And she jumped up. Oh, she was horrified. All of us were scared, you know. And what he had done, he had gotten some beaver board and put under his shirt and sweater by that thick. See, and when he came in there, that's what he did. He hit that under the floor. And he was a big guy, and she was about 5'3", maybe. So she was beating him, and she had to whip it, beat up. Because he was so tall, he would beat the night.
Aww.
So I guess it's the things I remember. And I remember guys going in the attic and coming down in the closet and taking your lunch. So, I mean, it was just so many different, and, you know, because we all had different kinds of meals and we shared, because I wanted what that person had, they wanted what I had, you know.
A little bartering.
Yeah, we bargained the different kinds of foods, you know.
Did the boys pick on the girls?
Oh, yeah. You know, we always put like each other for until about around the sixth grade. Toward the end, it wasn't but two girls in our class.
Really?
Mm-hmm. From the fifth to the seventh.
Hmm. Wow.
Two girls.
Why is that?
I don't know. I guess we didn't always have the same people. We had a lot of migrant population coming through. Right over in that area, but near the school, where the resort area is, that was Hollywood Farm. And there were houses over there, and farmers lived over there, the farm people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this family would come, all families would come every year. So they would stay until that fall crop was over, then they would leave. So a lot of them just didn't graduate here. And then, as I said, we were transit. People moved north for a better life, you know, especially after the railroad left. There wasn't much to do other than work in the field. Mm-hmm. So.
How many students were in your class most of the time, on average?
Probably 20 or so.
Okay. And that was just one grade or the couple grades together?
It would be two or three grades. I can't remember all in the same class.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Huh. So it was crazy. Anyway, we could do a lot in 5 minutes. You know, you're talking to recess, you'd be surprised how much you can get done.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah, you could go down the street, go down through the woods, cut across and go in the field and get a watermelon and come back on out there.
A whole watermelon?
Yeah.
In 5 minutes?
Yeah, you could do that.
Oh, man.
Well, everything is close by, you know. We were fast. Right?
So you had to be fast, kid.
Well, we were kind of a team. We were really a good team.
You had your knives too, right?
We had
everything. Cut it up pretty small, carry it on the deck.
On a rock, you can do it on a rock. I mean, yeah, it don't have to be a surgeon to get into a watermelon.
Wow.
You drop it on a big stone, it's gone. It's open.
Yeah. Very cool.
But it was a very serious thing if you got caught. You got beat. But the thing that we got with, nobody gets, they don't do that no more.
Yeah, imagine.
They laugh at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a particular group of friends that you hung out with most of the time?
Not really. Because we were small, we had different ideas. I guess it went according to our age. Mm-hmm. And the grade level. So those in the seventh grade weren't having too much to do with those in the third or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Did you have like a particularly best friend that you spent most of your time with in or out of school during that time, or just kind of just hung out with the whole group of people?
No. In fact, you know what? I don't have a best friend now. Everybody's my friend.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I have that ability to just love. I can do that. Mm-hmm. I can decide that I make my own decision. Sometimes I go and I choose a person. Mm-hmm. I say, I decide I'm going to love you. And I don't care what the situation is. And to tell somebody that you love them causes a lot of emotions. Mm-hmm. You don't understand why I'm saying it in the first place. Mm-hmm. So you got all kind of thoughts. And I remember telling the superintendent of schools, Don Goldstein, mm-hmm. I walked up there and told him, I said, I love you. Paralyzed.
Especially Don.
Yeah. I mean, but I really do. That's how I decided. Now, I guess everything went on in her mind.
Yeah.
But it came from the heart.
Yeah.
And now, when she sees me, if I don't say it first, she'll say it. She said, I love you. I don't care if her husband's there or who, I love you.
Uh-huh.
And I do that every once in a while. I go around in church, other person. Because it does put you on in a precarious position. You know, somebody walk up to you and say, you don't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah. That's cool.
But it does. I tell people, don't tell me anything, because I don't want to know anything. I don't want to know anything about anybody.
Yeah.
That's a wide open door. I got to tell you this. You got to know this. No, I don't.
No, I don't need to know it. That's right.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to ski to the school.
That's okay.
Just wipe it on. Fly it out.
So I only have one really big last question about the school. Is what was the impact on the school of the closing of the Northampton County Consolidated Schools in 1966? Well, how did that impact your school?
Exuberance, and just welcomed it to get to just go to a better school, because we had already made a comparison. We knew that. I don't know if we would have gotten any better. In fact, we didn't get better teachers.
No.
But we learned a lot. We were more prepared. But it was never really integrated.
No.
They just took us in.
Okay.
Because they had to. Integration would have, they would not have gotten together and made decisions before we came. So they set the standards. They set whatever they wanted to do. Uh-huh. It was always in place. They made all the new laws and prepared, because we're not going to let these people come in and take over. They're going to dance to our tune. Since we have to do it, this is where it's going to be.
Yeah.
And they had their superintendent behind them and different people. So it was very, we were kind of helpless in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Given the fact we didn't know anybody. We didn't know the powers to be.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know the superintendent from supervisor. You didn't hardly know maybe people in office. People around you just didn't know what they did.
Yeah.
Because we were kind of, it was a barrier there. Matter of fact, even now, I hear people, they're mad because the superintendent doesn't live here. I'm talking about right today.
Yeah.
Certain teachers don't live here.
Huh.
They should be living here.
Yeah.
The whole time I was from elementary school to high school, I didn't know where the superintendent lived. Didn't know where the teachers lived. Didn't make any difference.
Mm-mm.
Well, I needed it. And even more now, when I got on the school board, we would travel to other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so there weren't enough teachers. So they had this one school that could teach three or four schools, you know, on the computer, on the, what do you call it? Like, it's called Skype now, I guess.
The distance learning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why does it matter where the guy lives?
Mm-hmm.
They just got another ulterior idea.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah.
I go to, I've been to conferences. I have to go to conferences now in my business.
Mm-hmm.
So we do it online. Or we do anyway, learning is going to be learning.
Mm-hmm.
We just form excuses. Children not learning. That's all it is to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go back and get my three teachers.
Yeah. Sounds like they did a great job.
Yeah. Go get them.
But now the emphasis is on where the teachers live?
Well, that was just something I read in the paper about it. Oh. They kind of, they down on the superintendent for a whole lot of things. Huh. You know,
mm-hmm.
either got it or you don't, you know. All the schools are having problems, you know. But anyway.
So your parents went to this school and your children went to the school. You would have been right in the middle?
No, my mother went to Tidewater Institute. That was another kind of like a private school.
It's in Norfolk?
No, Chesapeake.
Oh,
well, no, it's still not Norfolk. That was a place just about 7 miles north of here.
Okay.
For the old school, private.
But it was also a part of this school system?
No, it was all, they had to go out and get it. They came under the churches, more or less. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. And your children went to the schools here? Your children went to school here as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of them went to school out there in the county because of the transition was a little slow. So I think my oldest son, he might have spent 1 year out there. But the other two children, they stayed here.
Yeah. They went to Cape Charles Elementary?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which is the Rosenwald.
Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All the generations.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The school prepared us for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I was proud of people that went to school. We learned all we could. You didn't have much to give us, you know, compared to the other school.
Yeah.
You know, now travel. We had a lot of pride. That was instilled in us.
Yeah.
Pride in our work and whatever we did.
What was it like outside of school growing up here in Cape Charles?
I guess it was a lot different for me because my parents we're blessed to have a lot of work to do and good jobs. And so we found ourselves looking out for a lot of others who were a little less fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
When the new folk came in town here, they look at my backyard and say, he got a junky yard, he got all those cars out there and all those rundown houses and all. So they began to challenge me and say, you got to move, you got to clean that up.
Mm.
Little did they know that they were taking people's houses, people who had left. And all during my childhood, those people, some of them would be hobos, catch the train, they come and they'd spend the night, so they'd go get the preacher. The preacher sent them over there and said, well, you got a place where they can crash for the night. And they stay in one of the little shacks we had in the back. Then later on, it was an old car or something. Was there. And even up to now, there are homeless people who are laying around in different buildings, you know. All our lives, we were always looking out and handing out to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And was it just you and your parents, or do you have other brothers and sisters?
Huh?
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
One sister.
One sister?
Yeah. Yeah. She did okay. I forgot to mention her. She moved away. She taught school here for a while.
Yeah.
In fact, she taught with my wife.
Okay.
In fact, they taught in the same classroom at the same time.
Yeah? What did they teach?
I can't remember. Well, they taught everything because you just, wherever that superintendent or that principal said, you go. Like I said, it wasn't a planned thing when they integrated.
Mm-hmm.
They just picked this person. See, they're picking the person who was more capable of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
See, so a lot of things in the school system, what do you call it, gentrified, or you had the people, your family, they would be teaching this, not necessarily qualified.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh. It's a little bit different than today, huh?
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And, once you were going to the integrated schools, did that change your outlook on schooling or the way you felt about schooling?
I didn't go to integrated school.
No, not at all?
Not until college.
Wow.
Yeah. But I always had a good relationship.
Why?
Huh?
Yeah.
Because you think you need to give the time frame that you were.
Oh yeah, the time frame. In 50, I graduated in 55.
Okay.
So they didn't integrate till.
Is he able to recall everything?
We're almost done. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
I wasn't able to drop it.
Okay, I thought she might need help.
No,
I don't. No, I met her in high school.
Uh-huh.
At 14.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
14.
That's amazing.
And I signed a rescue, I don't know.
He said that first day, you know, he thought he would marry me.
Oh.
Yeah.
At 14?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
In fact, I got a brick in there at one of the schools. See, some of the schools I went to, they tore them down after I left.
Uh-huh.
That particular high school, they took them down.
Okay.
So I did go get, we got a couple of bricks and we took pictures of why they were tearing it down, you know.
High school you went to was
in Machipongo, yes.
Uh-huh. Wow. So you graduated from high school in 55, you said?
55.
And integration didn't happen until the 60s.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. So. Wow. So, what was it like then attending college?
Well, I never left. It was just amazing to me because I'd never been anywhere else. Well, I take it back. I did go with my mother sometime to go pick up a body in the city, you know, mm-hmm. because those people, when they died there, I'd go, but we don't want to spend that night or that day and came back. So I was in and out of the places, so I didn't really get to see, but then I got to see other people, and I was astonished that I was grown. 17 years old, I was a grown man. I would do what I want to do, and all on my own.
Yeah.
It was something.
Wow. And you
said I pretty much been growing ever since I was about 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you said you went to the University of Virginia?
No.
No. I misheard that, sorry.
You couldn't go at that time to that school. Virginia Union University.
Virginia University, sorry.
Virginia Union.
Virginia Union, that's in Richmond.
Okay.
Okay. University of Virginia isn't it still in Richmond? Oh,
yeah.
Is that? Okay.
Yeah.
So did you get drafted first and then did the VA help you get through?
No, I didn't go in the military.
Oh, okay.
Getting married caused me not to go.
Oh.
And then they called me a second time. Mm-hmm. By that time I had a first child. I said, well, okay, you can stay. You know.
Good.
That's really good.
But later on, I did get on the draft board. So I stayed on the draft board for about 30 years.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So how old were you when you got married?
21 or 2, something like that.
Oh, you held out that long?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she went to school, I went to school. You know, yeah.
Very good.
Like I said, we had a whole lot of cars. She was 20 miles from me.
Away.
It's a long
way. No long car. Way without
but,
a car.
I'd hitchhike sometime, or I would, you know, I used to clean cars for different people. Mm-hmm. Clean my parents' cars. That was one of my jobs. I'd sneak the car on up there. I might ride on up there real quick and come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I could never do anything in this town because everything I did, somebody would call and say, you know, your son's doing this, and he's over there, he's doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him over there. And they wouldn't tell no. Yeah, I saw your son up there, and that's why. How you get in the car?
Yeah. But, and then, of course, they'd ask, right?
Oh, yeah. But.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I guess I enjoyed the school. I think about some of the dangerous things that we did, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hump is not like it is now. Mm-hmm. And it had a little wall. And the wall was about, in the top part was like that, and it kind of oval.
Uh-huh.
And we'd walk on it sometime.
Really?
Yeah, you walk it. You can look down, see the track. Yeah.
Ooh. It's dangerous.
Just do that. It's a challenge.
Normal kid stuff.
Yeah, we just did that, you know.
Yeah.
Showing off. You know. When you're supposed to be on the other side with the catwalk, you know.
Yeah.
Coming down. They had a catwalk side of the bridge, so you're supposed to get on that. Yeah. Sometimes we get on, we come down where the cars were.
Yeah.
At the principal wasn't there. We try to beat him out. Cause sometimes he was walking there. He walked school too, sometimes. Uh-huh. And then he finally got a car. We had about 3 different principals up there while we were there. But the other teachers, they just stayed. They didn't move.
Yeah. Very consistency has been nice, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How long did it usually take you to get to school?
About as long as it takes. If I was to walk right now to that, you know where it is?
I haven't driven there yet.
Okay, it's from 1, 2, 3, 4 blocks and go over the bridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not too long.
It's hard to tell because we did everything on the way back and on the way there.
Uh-huh.
We played all kinds of games.
Mm-hmm.
So if I got home by a certain time, then they would somebody would tell, "Well, he's all right, man. He's all right. He's okay." So,
yeah.
I guess probably 15-20 minutes.
Okay.
For me to get there.
Not too bad.
And what makes me remember that? I said. I told my mother and father, I said, "I'm leaving the house. I'm never coming back." And I'm running away from home. And she was frying chicken at that time. I got in at school, and I looked like I smelled that chicken food. I said, "I'm going back home. I'm going to leave home another time." So I guess it took me about 15, 20 minutes. I got back faster than I because I was trying to figure out how in the world I'm gonna approach him because I just said I'm never coming back. It would really kind of upset me. Then nobody tried to stop me.
She needed to come back. She's cooking your favorite meal.
Yeah. But all in all, I did see some real talented people to leave our school. Some became great in the community. Despite the little education that we got, some did real well, became lawyers and professionals in all walks of life. They did good.
That's funny.
If you wanted to read extra or anything like that, could you go to the library or would they deliver books to the school for you?
No, the library. Well, we had a little so-called library.
At the school?
Mm-hmm. That was the room where I used to get the whip. They go in there and shut that door and get kind of tighten you up a little bit with them switches. That's the library I remember. Well, I'm sure, but they always had somebody who was a little different from me, and they could use the books, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But it wasn't much time for us to do the library.
Oh.
You know, because we were on a tight schedule. It kept us going.
Yeah.
The whole time.
What was their like school hours? Was it like today, like 8 to 3 or is it a few hours in the morning and then a break and then in the afternoon?
The old thing I remember is a 5-minute recess.
Do a little bit of reading, go outside and play.
Yeah. And if you, unless you did something, you didn't get to go out at all.
Oh.
That's even worse. But you had to attend to all your needs, you know, so you had to go outside. You had to stay in line, watch somebody pumping that water and get your water and drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Then go to the bathroom if you had to.
They
only had one, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, to the whole school?
And they used to tell the story, because sometimes it might be a... In fact, these things actually happened to find a snake in that place. First people might be in a toilet or a scarping or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But so you remember this open door and watch. And some people just weren't afraid of snakes anyway.
Yeah.
Get involved in.
You had long breathing.
Bring them in the class, bring them in the school if you're going to watch them, you know. In fact, my wife, one brought it about a snake in her class. That's after integration. They brought a snake in there.
Yeah. I wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
But did you guys have lunch and stuff at school, or?
There were feeble attempts to do that. Some people would bring sandwiches from one of the local confectioners. It wasn't permanent. But we carried our lunch most of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody would bring some ice cream over there.
Oh.
And I don't know if it was I don't remember this. The source, but you can get a creamsicle or something like that.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right. Well, I guess the last thing to wrap it up, is there anything specific?
Do you remember the years that you were in the Cape Charles Elementary? What year you started and what year you left? I guess we could figure it backwards.
Yeah, I'd have to figure it out.
55 when you left, right?
Left the high school. High school.
Yeah, so you back up to 4 years.
51 would be.
So it was only first grade through seventh grade?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So it would be
50.
So you started high school at eighth grade.
Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right, it was eighth grade. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
42
to 1950-ish?
Is that right? Probably right. Wow.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Were you ready to go into high school? Because I don't know what they teach in grade school anymore. It's been so long since I was there. But were you on the same par as... Oh, you went to a... Segregated
high
school.
Yeah.
Oh.
The whole time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I don't know what they teach in grade school. They teach what? Social studies and
things like
that?
Social studies, science,
and
math.
History and all that stuff.
English. They taught English.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But you were ready for college, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Right.
So...
You know what? To go to college in those days,
mm-hmm.
You had to be recommended by outstanding people in the community.
Oh, okay.
So.
I think you still do, don't you?
Hmm?
You still have to have a recommendation.
Yeah, it's a recommendation.
Who recommended them?
Oh, I had to write a lot of recommendation letters.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you did to get into college, but graduate school.
Yeah. Huh. So who recommended you?
A pastor and the mayor in the town.
Wow.
And somebody else, I can't remember. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And then you went to Philadelphia for further school?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, this is the way my elementary school paid off. When I went there, during those times, a man, if he wanted a job,
mm-hmm.
he might just walk on that job
mm-hmm.
and start working. Don't know where he's going to get paid or not.
Yeah, just go over there and start working.
Do a good job. Be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I went to this funeral home, and I told the man, I'm looking for a job, trying to supplement. So I pretty much took that job that day, because he said, I don't need anybody. I said, well, you may not need anybody, but I just want to show you what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there were a lot of remains around. It was one that he wasn't going to do. And I said, well, let me do that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I did such a good job, before I finished, he had me doing work on two others.
Mm-hmm.
I nail that job.
That's good.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that would happen when, when my daddy was, he was a contractor, people would come work there. He said, you can say anything out your mouth. Let me see what you can do.
Yeah.
So how did your elementary education contribute to that?
Because that was the way people did things. Mm-hmm. I'll show you what I can do.
Yeah.
And I'll work, whether I get paid or not. I'm just going to do this.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and we watch other people do things like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're about done. Thank you very much for your time. It's amazing.
Sure.
Wow.